Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suzuki hits a high fly ball, deep left field, way back there, still going, and it's gone! Cubs within one, Seiya Suzuki, with his second home run of the afternoon, a deep shot to left, 5-4 Seattle now with the lead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to score. That's the great clip of the week. Brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great.
That was a designated hitter, Seiya Suzuki. And Seiya Suzuki, as a designated hitter, has been tremendous this year. Yep. Tremendous. Just keep him out of right field.
Wow, he's a bit of a butcher.
Keep him out of right field. He was yesterday, and he was apologetic, and he said that was what motivated him to want to do more at the plate because of the way the two errors he made in right field, he was filling in for Kyle Tucker, who was getting a day out of the field and off of his feet, and it cost the Cubs. I know neither one of those errors, I think, led to runs, in fairness, but you don't want to see that. Is that an overreaction?
No.
Keep him on the bench.
We are, we should just, lift the veil a little
bit. Okay, here we are.
Yep. Because, so we talked to Bruce. So Bruce says that the Cubs could make a move this week. For a starting pitcher. Mm-hmm. He says it's a young veteran, right? Mm-hmm. That, yep. He won't tell us anything. You're desperately quizzing him.
I'm quizzing
him. So we've decided if it's this week, it has to be one of six teams.
You got to figure that.
And we've been sitting here with rosters open.
Declared sellers.
And we're going back and forth throwing names of guys.
Well, not just haphazardly, but
No,
maybe
I'm saying guys that would be, are we saying
let's
30
face it.
Cut off?
30-ish.
Yes.
Young veteran is an oxymoron.
Yes,
because how young is young? How veteran is veteran? You can't really be both, so we're kind of in between. And we're having a baseball conversation. This is what we're supposed to do.
Oh, we're having fun.
What's it based on? Well, it's based on informed analysis, I suppose. And you look at the league, and in the American League, Baltimore, the White Sox.
I don't think Baltimore is part of that yet.
No, but you don't think they're selling?
I think they may.
Mully,
but
33-44. Look in the mirror, Orioles.
Look in the mirror of reality,
Zach Eflin. I ask you that. Zach Eflin, is he a guy that would fit the profile?
Yes, he would fit. Well,
31-ish? He's on the block-ish?
Yeah, I was going to say he's a little bit older.
All right. That's an interesting one. But then you see that, then the Twins, they may have some pieces they might want to move.
Yeah, but they're not there yet.
All right, the White Sox.
White Sox.
There's nobody
on
there that I want.
Nobody you want.
No, the A's.
The A's for sure would be a good one. That's right.
Luis Severino.
He's 30 though.
He's 31 years old.
31.
But he wants out.
Yeah,
apparently,
he does want
reports
out.
Are that he wants out because he does not like dressing in the minor league ballpark or playing in the minor league ballpark that they play in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe he's the guy to keep an eye on. All right, let's get to the National League because that's where it gets very interesting.
Yeah, we've got four teams that we've agreed are out of it in the National League.
Mm-hmm.
The Nationals, the Marlins, the Pittsburgh
Pirates,
mm-hmm. And who was the other
one? The Rockies.
The Rockies, of course.
And the Diamondbacks are on their way, but they can't admit it to themselves yet, maybe.
They can't admit it to themselves. It's too early.
Figure it out.
They need like a couple bad weeks.
I love our texters. They're helping us out because they came up with a name that you referenced during the break. And I think Mitch Keller is intriguing.
Another established starter who's, part of their starting rotation. They're not going to trade Skeens.
No, they're not. So Mitch Keller, right-hander.
Yes.
29 years old, which I found out a little fun fact last week when he opposed Colin Ray. They are buddies who work out together in the offseason. So there's a little bit of intel they know about Mitch Keller.
And here is the one. We got get the Nationals drunk and somehow make them trade you Mackenzie Gore.
Okay, now we're talking.
Mackenzie Gore.
Don't tease me.
That would
Molly.
Fit the
don't,
profile.
Don't tease me like
of
that.
A young veteran pitcher.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, that would be a guy
26 years old
that you could see having like a really good future in the Cubs.
Now
rotation.
Starting game one for the Cubs in the National League Championship Series.
Shota Imanaga.
No, Mackenzie Gore.
Well, he would definitely start.
That would be something else. If you get a guy of that caliber, and that would be,
that'd be a
somebody.
Great one.
It would be
great.
He would have. He's.
We don't know he's on the table. We don't know if that would be a guy that they'd be interested in trading.
It'd be a shocker.
It would be a shocker. But man, he's good. That'd be great. You'd take a guy like that.
I think you would. And I'm exaggerating about whether or not where he would start and fit in the rotation, but he would be somebody that you could envision being a good addition to a quality staff and the kind of guy that Jed Hoyer could look at and point to and say, all right, he fits our timeline. Definitely exciting about that. Speculation's fun.
Oh, we're having a good time.
Speculation is fun. Yeah. Merrill Kelly is my choice, says 312. He gets strikeouts. That's better for the playoffs. No argument there.
Yeah.
But the Diamondbacks have to come to terms with what they are and what they're not.
Yeah. That,
and what they're not right now is a contender.
Is open for business.
What they are is in the toughest division in baseball.
But they're not open for business.
Can I ask?
Yet.
Not yet. Can I add one more name to the list?
Please,
so if the Diamondbacks ever do get open for business, and this has nothing to do with pitching, this is just to do with preference, I hope that they trade Eugenio Suarez to the Cubs for one reason and one reason only.
So Pat can pronounce
it. I want to hear Pat Hughes pronounce that name every game. Because there's not a name in Major League Baseball that I think he enjoys more than saying Eugenio Suarez. And I can't even say anything close to the way Pat pronounces it.
I honestly love Pat pronouncing names. It's one of the finest.
I'm excited about tonight. Yes. You know why? Well, every
he
night's a fun name. Because Wilson Contreras is in the lineup for the Cardinals. Contreras. He says it in a way that nobody else says it. It is right.
How much are you looking forward to that, Dustin?
To get a little... I can't wait till this stuff happens.
I'm saying Wilson. How much are you looking forward to seeing Wilson with two L's, Contreras?
It's always fun, right? He's got a fire in his...
He was just in town.
Right, and he was fiery here.
Like, and he was a nightmare.
Right?
He was a nightmare.
He was a disaster for the White
again.
Sox.
He's hitting again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He holds a grudge. He's not happy. I know a lot of people in the organization are happy that he's no longer around, but he's not happy that he's not wanted.
Well, he didn't like the way it ended, and I can understand why.
I
can remember being somebody who wasn't happy the way it ended. I wanted him to stay. I thought he was a guy that you held on to.
He must have been a pain in the backside, though, in the clubhouse. There must have been more to it.
This is his third season with the Cardinals.
It's hard to believe.
It really is hard to believe. Gosh, it doesn't seem like it seems just like yesterday I was pining for his.
Yeah,
or I was opposing his exit.
But it was his fieriness that is what you wanted. He wasn't. He was far from he was average at best at catching. Right, average at best. But even remember when they stuck him out in the outfield, and he actually was like competent. And he's better than say a Suzuki. Is.
Average at best, and I don't know the metrics. Yeah, exactly. You're right. Good day to say that. But he had a framing issue. But I always thought his arm was underrated. Because he had a great arm.
Controlling the running game?
Yes.
Absolutely.
The best was when they had that like three-man weave going when Lester would pitch. and he would just fire the ball behind someone to first base. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Huh? It was.
You don't see that. I like that.
You don't see that much anymore.
No.
No.
That pitch out kind of thing?
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, you don't see pitch outs very often at all.
We're really working here. We're working on this trade. We're going to make this happen.
Edwin Cabrera, some 773
yes.
texts in. He fits the profile. There are a lot of names that we can start throwing out there. I don't want to do that. We just, I guess, did that to some degree.
We don't want to do that. We spent the whole break doing it.
But we looked up the ages and relative
yes.
to the experience level. Right. Edward Cabrera is 23 years old.
It's too young.
It's probably too young.
Mackenzie Gore is in that wheelhouse. Let's go.
I agree with you. 26-year-old lefty who's got nasty stuff, the kind of stuff that the Cubs saw firsthand, can be very difficult to deal with. You can envision him pitching in big moments. And they are one starter shy of feeling like they are a team without a obvious weakness. You get Mackenzie Gore, boy, you're set. Then we can start worrying about the bullpen again.
312-644-6767. Darren is in Glenview. Hey, Darren.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I have a question for Molly.
Sure.
About the White Sox, because I know you're a big White Sox fan. As I understand it, they're on a pace to lose more than 100 games.
Yes.
There are no position players in their system that anybody has identified as a potential star. They don't spend money on free agents. They don't develop and draft young baseball players historically. We have 9 more years of the Reinsdorf idiocy and 9 more years of Bruce Levine carrying water for him. So as a White Sox fan, tell me why I should be optimistic about this group.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's my job to sell the White Sox to you, and I'm not sure that's an easy sell. But I would say that there are 10 rookies on this team. Some are real good, and some of them have hope. But the position player problem you've identified seems like a bit of one. They're going to have to figure out a way to get better. And I don't know that they do have the play. You know, who's going to come up and do well? You know, I mean, not for a couple years, but you know, Braden Montgomery. Looks like
he does look good. Yeah, leave Bruce alone. By the way, just leave Bruce out of it.
Yeah.
The Sox are doing something that
George Wolko
represents a change in. I think a subtle change in philosophy. We talked about it. They're bringing guys up at a higher, faster rate. There are 10 rookies on this team,
and there's more coming.
Noah
Schultz will be here before.
Noah
the end
Schultz
of the
had
year.
A bad debut at AAA.
I know, but
he did not look good.
He will be here before the end of the year.
Agree, and so will. So will Colson Montgomery?
Well, I hope so.
Are you less sure about Colson Montgomery than Noah Schultz?
David, do you watch? I know you watch the White Sox. How many people, by the way, contacted you over your appearance as Ozzie?
Because I heard from a lot of people.
At least I was one of them.
You were one of them. You're one of several.
I don't know how many people are still watching and monitoring.
But. You know what? People are watching the White Sox based on my Saturday experience coming out of the bullpen and replacing Ozzie Guillen.
That's good.
That was my first time ever replacing Ozzie Guillen. I said early on, look, I'm not going to tell Adam Dunn stories.
I just want to tell you, and I love you, but you didn't replace him. You filled in for him.
I know. I don't know what that means, but you're right. Nobody replaces Ozzie.
You haven't replaced him.
I did for a day.
Okay.
I filled in for him. You're right. That's probably the right, better way to put it. Nobody replaces Ozzie. Ozzie, let's face it, Ozzie is Mr. CHSN, right?
Ozzie, listen.
Ozzie's
no.
Mr. White
Ozzie,
Sox.
Ozzie, yes. Ozzie's the guy the Ozzie's, Pope knows.
He's irreplaceable.
That's right.
I was glad to see him back yesterday. And, you know, I think Chuck's a little bit better with Ozzie.
Gord, with so many young players, you're looking for where they fit best, especially in that infield, something you could relate to. You played a couple of different positions and played them well. With this White Sox group, Mydrus can play shorter second. You see Vargas on both corner spots. You see Sosa playing some first base and second base. When you're moving forward, you're looking for the right combination, even when you get Colson Montgomery into the equation. How important is it for these young guys to play one spot, or do you like the idea of moving them around?
Right now, I like the idea that they can play a lot of different positions, and I think that it's good for the White Sox to see them in different positions to see where they fit. If these guys can play multiple positions, obviously that helps them, but it also helps the White Sox because they can mix and match like they're doing today. They've got some different options on the field. You got Rojas going back to third and Vargas going to first. Obviously, Meidroth is probably more of a second baseman for me, but I love watching him play shortstop. He's got great feel. I think that there's a lot of good that can come from being able to know how to play a few different positions at a high level. So for now, I like it. Ultimately, I hope that they can find some, you know, I think you'll have Chase Meidroff move over to second base, but you got to have that shortstop of the future, and whether that's Colson Montgomery or somebody else, you know, it's yet to be seen, right? And I think that we're just watching it play out.
That is Gordon Beckham responding to Mr. David's questions on Saturday's post-game White Sox show.
Well, I think that Ozzy would have had the answer. I had asked the question. So
yeah,
that's the difference between Ozzy and me, baby. Ozzy has the answers. I have the questions. Gordon was very good. I enjoyed going back and forth with Gordon Beckham. And that was pretty fun. It was fun.
Yeah, that was good. That was a really cool thing to do. But I guess when I think about what he said, it really answers what the caller's question is, which is, they got a lot of different guys, and we're not sure where they're going to wind up playing.
The infield, you could have a lot of different configurations, which was the point of the question.
You need a shortstop. And Meidroth, one of the things I love about him is, did you see he came up yesterday at one point? I was in and out of the house, and I turned it on, and he walks up, and he's got like dirt.
He's the dirty
all,
uniform
all
guy.
Over his
all
uniform.
The time.
All, I mean,
he's
it
the
feels
kid
like
you knew was
going to
spill something on him all the time.
He's just covered in, like, whether he was sliding or diving for a ball, he's covered in dirt every time I see him. He's the definition of grindy.
But what did he do? He got on base.
Yeah.
In the big inning, the comeback inning, he walked. He's an on-base machine.
That's what his value is. They got the bases loaded, and they brought up their closest thing to a home run hitter. They brought up Andrew Benintendi, and he had, what did you call it
swinging
earlier?
Bunt.
The swinging bunt.
It was
bunt.
A swinging bunt. It worked.
The pitcher couldn't field it. And then they have Vargas come up.
He's the closest you have to a home run hitter. He's got 10.
He stayed with a swing and managed to
hand placement.
One of the weakest doubles you'll ever see in
it
your
counts.
Life.
It counts. It's a line drive in the box score.
In the box score, it looks great. And that was the three runs they scored. They were down 2-1.
Okay,
but
to my point.
4-2. Come on.
Vargas, do you project him as a third baseman or first baseman? Meidroth, shortstop or second baseman? Colson Montgomery, shortstop or third baseman?
I don't know what Colson Montgomery is. I'm being honest with you. I don't even know if I project him anymore.
They project him, and that's the point of this conversation: is that they're more likely to call him up sooner rather than later. And I think there's almost a certainty that you're going to see him before the end of the season because they are not afraid to see how these prospects fare at the major league level, which is not always the case with major league teams. The White Sox seem to have taken a different approach subtly this year where they're not afraid to bring guys up and test them at this level.
And
I don't hate it.
And I know it's a wonderful life, but I also know that Vinny Capra shouldn't be the starting shortstop.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a surprise ending.
No. I don't think it's going to be particularly feel good.
No, I don't think so. And you're certainly not going to be wanting more at the end when the credits roll. Vinny Capra, thank you for the memories.
And I do think, though, that the good thing about bringing guys up is if they look the part, then you're okay. I think that the catcher position looks good moving forward.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I like that combination of young players moving forward. But I don't know that they have that sort of – I don't know that every position will be filled in that manner. And I would do worry about their shortstop position. And I mean, the reality is that the White Sox, at one point in their history, they had like you know, felt like right field was the boogeyman position. They were trying everybody and their uncle out there. It felt like second base turned into a boogeyman position at different points where they're just they never seem to fill different positions. So, you know, you're having that go on now, but some of the guys they're bringing up look pretty good.
They
like
do.
Grant Taylor gets his first
save. Oh, he's a lot to like.
Yesterday.
There's a lot to like
There's
about him.
There's a lot to like about that. And we've seen some of the pitching. You know, they got a Rule 5. They got two Rule 5 pitchers in their
rotation.
Rotation.
Yep.
Which is incredible.
It is kind of unusual. And it might
and
be somebody.
Good.
Yeah, they're pretty. Mike Vassell and Shane Smith. And maybe John Heyman has an idea of who the Cubs might be pursuing.
Yeah, we'll bring in John next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people. Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great John Heyman, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
We are fired up a little bit because we were talking to Bruce Levine earlier in the show, and he told us he thinks the Cubs could be making a move fairly quickly. He believes they could be making a move within the next week in terms of starting pitching. And so we've been spending a little bit of time trying to figure out exactly what that means.
Speculating.
Because there's only six teams at this point that you can say are definitely out of the playoffs. And, you know, you kind of wonder how, even if that number will increase
exponentially.
Thank you. As we get closer to the trade deadline. But if they're making a move now, they're kind of making it, they're limited in the number of teams that would be willing participants.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few teams that are out of it. You're right. A half dozen teams are dead in the water at this point. I don't even think Baltimore has not decided yet. And they definitely have starters. But I mean, I think among the half dozen teams that are out of it, there are a few pitchers that are available. This would be early. I mean, it's you know, obviously Devers was an exception, but there have occasionally been trades in June or very early July, but 95% of the work is done in that last week, really, and it would be unusual. I would expect they'd be trying, but if Bruce has information that they're making progress or he thinks that it could happen, I mean, I'll defer to him. He's obviously been talking to people. But, you know, they are 18th in starting pitching ERA. Obviously, they were without Steele for the year. Shota's been out. He'll be back soon. But that is their issue, as Jed Hoyer told us on the show with at the Post. They definitely need pitching. And I still think, you know, obviously the relief pitching was great for a long time and had a couple of rough ones lately. But they I think they need relief as well. There are not a ton of guys out there, whether it's Alcantara, Edward Cabrera with the Marlins, you've got Heaney with the Pirates. I mean, the White Sox have a couple starters, but I mean, those are not big pickups. Hauser's doing well, but I don't think Savali would would cost you much. But at this point, you're not going to go for somebody who's just like a mid-range like a Savali. And I don't think Alcantara is ready to be traded because he's had three or four good starts in a row, but he needs to really put together a stretch to show that he is back.
So, John, it's easy to identify the teams that might have conceded that they will be sellers and have started looking at possibilities already. But I do wonder, what do you think of the Diamondbacks? Are they waiting until it's more obvious? They're in the toughest division. They're at the bottom of it, but they're flirting with 500. And they have a track record that says they'll play better in the second half. How do you view their future in terms of contending and then maybe dealing?
They really do not want to sell. Among the teams that really don't want to sell, they're probably at the top of the list. They've committed a lot of money. I know it's a big market, but not a big revenue team. So to spend over $200 million on Burns, who's out, as you guys know, the pitching has been a disaster. The relief pitching has not been good. I could see it realistically, but they do not want to sell. Their owner doesn't want to sell. They've committed a lot of money. If they do, they'll have the best sale. They even have two good starters between Kelly and Gallen, but they have a lot of good players. Naylor as well, Eugenio Suarez. They have about a half dozen free agents who are really good pit players.
Yeah, and I think that when we talk about the Cubs, I don't know that it's limited to just a pitcher. It might have been at one point. But, you know, they got to keep looking and keep figuring out a way to get better. Their lead over the Brewers is down to 3.5 games. The Brewers have a very easy schedule coming up while the Cubs are in St. Louis and then go to Houston. So those, as we all well know, a lead, a 3.5 game lead can evaporate in a bad week.
Yeah, I mean, Milwaukee surprises us every year and just never know what they're going to do. They've called up now Mizorowski, who's threatened to throw a no-hitter his first two starts. So they look like an improved team right away. But they have the advantage the Cubs have is that they are a big market team and can be more aggressive. The unfortunate thing now is, as you cited, there's only about a half dozen teams that look like they're surefire sellers. So many teams in that 500 range, and none of them want to sell, and I don't think any of them will sell, at least until the very end. To me, the Cubs need to improve the pitching. It's got to be bullpen and rotation. Those are the keys for me. Their hitting, by and large, has been very good. Tucker's been what you'd expect. Suzuki's been better than you expect. Happ is coming on. PCA's a MVP candidate. I mean, they're getting production out of all their catchers. No matter who they put up there, who's a catcher, is producing. So I think they're good offensively, and I'm not sure where you would improve in terms of the lineup, but they need to be one of those teams that just 100%, to me, close to 100% looking at the pitching.
So, John, you mentioned Jacob Mizorowski. On Wednesday, he opposes Paul Skeens in what's going to be a great matchup, or they're scheduled to face off, and I think that's interesting to consider. But what does he do for the Brewers? It seems like they called him up, and all of a sudden that gave them a boost and a jolt that nobody in Chicago wanted to see. They have unloaded some guys. They don't have the rotation they've had in past years, but are they going to hang around for the duration?
Well, they always surprise us. And look, I think their last series they scored 34 runs. So, I mean, they went through a stretch where they didn't hit before, but now they are hitting. I think Churio's better than he's shown so far. Yelich is a good player. I think Contreras is probably better than he's generally shown so far. Obviously they lost Adames, who's not doing great, had a good game yesterday with San Francisco. But look, I'm not going to put anything past the Brewers. I mean, I never see it. I always think it's going to be the Cubs or the Cardinals, and this year the Cubs. But, they are a team that surprised, one of those teams like Cleveland and Tampa that manages to do it on a shoestring every year. So, I mean, they clearly, at this point, we're halfway through. To me, they're clearly a threat. They are the biggest threat, I think. I just don't see St. Louis hanging in there. They're kind of caught in the middle. They said they were resetting. They didn't do anything in the winter. I'm not sure they're going to do anything now. But, St. Louis has got some good young players. I don't see them as a threat. I think it is Milwaukee. You're right.
Yeah. It's funny. We were talking the Cubs. They hit some home runs. There were 21 home runs in the game, in the series over the weekend. The Cubs hit 11 of them. They still lost the series. They have scored runs, but, the pitching hasn't been great. And we were talking about like what they have to do. And somebody said, well, look what the Yankees did. They had this terrible slump and they were they stopped hitting home runs and you'd never expected to see that. But it just is kind of baseball. You just go through these stretches. What? How did the Yankees get out of that? And what can they teach us?
Yeah, I mean, right, in baseball, let's say the 98 Yankees, you know, there's always going to be a blip in the schedule. And the Yankee one was a surprise to be shut out three times in a row. You're talking about the team with the second best offense statistically in baseball behind the Dodgers. You don't see that coming. Obviously, they got the best hitter and the best player in the game in Judge. You never expect that. But, they're obviously a good team. They had a bad week. It does happen. It could happen to the Cubs. It could happen to anybody. Yankees are, I think, a little fortified, though, for a long stretch because they have three pitchers who are really excellent. I mean, at this point, you've got Schmidt with 25 scoreless in a row. Rodon is now, you know, back to one of his better years in either San Francisco or with you guys in the South Side there. And Fried has been, he's a Cy Young candidate. I think ultimately Skubal's the best pitcher in the league, but Fried's certainly in the top two or three. So they're fortified. The Cubs, to me, they've got more pitching questions. You look at it, and, you know, Shota coming back is huge. He has shocked everyone with how great he has been since signing for a very reasonable $54 million or something thereabouts. But they definitely have pitching questions, and they could go into a slump because of that.
It got ugly between the Padres and the Dodgers. It was fascinating to see Shohei Ohtani play the role of peacemaker among the other roles that he's playing, pitcher and home run hitter extraordinaire. What was your takeaway from that series, and how much will that bad blood linger?
Well, it's very bad blood. People think that people are laid back on the West Coast. I don't find that to be the case, and certainly not in baseball. I don't think that I understand that, the eye for the eye, the star for the star. But, I mean, to me, Ohtani, you can't touch him. I know I said this on MLB Network, and I got absolutely killed for it by the fans, especially San Diego fans. But, I mean, he's a total other category among every player. I mean, I was just out there for a week. I don't have to tell you guys, he's a phenomenon. It's unbelievable. They're making certainly over $150 million a year on marketing and sponsorship for one player. I don't think any other player brings in 10% of that for a team. He is a total other category beyond. So let's keep this guy healthy. Let's keep him out there. Now that he's pitching, it's obviously twice as good. And so that's my takeaway. Leave him alone. As far as Tatis, it doesn't look good that they've hit him five times already this year or the last 2 years. That you got to be fair. That doesn't look so good.
Hey, John, the White Sox actually went on the road and won a series in Toronto. I think it's the first time they've won a series in Toronto since 2019. But the bigger thing is yesterday they ended an 0-for-38 streak when they trail after seven innings. They actually came back and won a game. They were 1-95 in that category trailing after seven innings last year, and now they're 1-38 this year. One of the differences is they used yesterday Grant Taylor, who weirdly was the opener for the first game they won against Toronto and the closer yesterday. And he looks like a closer. One of their problems is they don't have a closer. This rookie player, and they got 10 rookies up right now, looks like a guy that could close a game for you, and he did it yesterday.
Well, that's terrific. He is clearly a prospect, and they're looking pretty good on the pitching front. I think they've made some good pickups there. They've drafted well in terms of the pitchers. I think we'll see some of them come up and help even more, and they're certainly doing well from that standpoint. But it's not shocking to me that they don't come from behind and win games because their offense just isn't there yet. You've got a lot of possibility. We've talked about this a few times, but a lot of potentials there in the lineup. But who's actually going to be a surefire
right.
above average major league hitter in that lineup. I mean, Vargas is doing okay. I mean, Benintendi's not going to be the guy going forward, obviously, but he's doing okay for now. But, you know, Mydroth has been okay. You know, they certainly, Teal certainly has potential. I think, you know, they've certainly Caro has potential, but. You know, they gotta fill out a lineup card, right? And they you're not gonna win games coming from behind if you don't have hitters, and that's gonna be their issue going forward. They've certainly made steps. They're not an embarrassment. They aren't the team of the 2024 White Sox. They aren't even the worst team in baseball. And you know, they're getting closer. You know, they've come close. Obviously, they're not good in one run games yet, but
right.
They're getting closer. But that offense, they still need to have guys that you can say, well, this guy's going to be a star for this team, and they just don't have those guys.
Thanks, John. Great stuff.
You're the best, John.
All right. Great talking to you guys. See you next week.
That is our guy, John Heyman. Always fun.
He sees progress on the South Side.
Yeah, I mean, again.
What? You asked him progress. He said he saw some. That's good.
I'm like, we have a couple texters pushing back, like, oh, you really think the South? I never said that. I don't think that they're – I understand where the problems
people
are.
People know what's going on there.
Yes.
You don't have – because they're losing at a rate that is what it is.
Yes.
They're staring at 100 losses again.
Third straight year.
When you see things that – like Sunday, they come back and win a game unlike they had in 38 previous opportunities to win a game. It's significant.
Broken clock right twice a day.
Something like that.
312, twice a season. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mully and Haw Flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Are we talking maybe a certain former Cy Young winner from Miami, or
no.
Is it more likely to be Aaron Savalle?
More likely a guy that we can't all identify that's a good young veteran pitcher, and I'm working hard to try to identify
wow.
that right now.
Bruce, great work. I think that's very interesting. Is this a little bit, well, we will let you go, but is this a little bit earlier than you anticipated?
No. No, they're going for it. They're yeah. proactive. I mean, the other part of that is, you know, with all due respect to Matt Shaw and how he's playing third base.
Great point.
You know, do you add yes. a right-handed hitting third baseman?
Got to consider it.
And is that a bigger part of a trade? So those are the things we should keep our eye on.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That was our conversation with Bruce Levine earlier in the program, where he shared with us his belief that they're going to get a starting pitcher, maybe
hint, hint.
In this upcoming week.
Yeah, it drops a couple of hints and sends us on a scavenger hunt. And I think it's interesting speculation. Understandable, too, because of the need for a starting pitcher. The other thing about the Cubs' needs, though, I don't think I'm as concerned about the third base position as he's suggested. Matt Shaw is... You know, we've got to adjust to the adjustments now again. The bench is emerging as a concern that we shouldn't overlook or forget either. Vidal Brujan played second base yesterday, played third base on Saturday. And in both cases, I was like, huh? I understand
so
why he's very fast. They traded to the Marlins for him. But I don't know about this Cub bench.
I think what I'm hearing is Brujan, no. Is that what you're saying?
I don't want to pick on one guy, but I think they could probably look at upgrading their bench with somebody with a little bit more.
Let me ask it this pop. Way. Bruhan, yes or no?
No.
Okay. That's what I thought I was hearing. You know, what's interesting is, so obviously we know that Ben Brown starts tonight against the Cardinals, and Matthew Libidor counters lefty pitcher for them. I'm wondering, I looked at some of the probable pitching, and they don't have, like, Eric Fetty has been their best starter just in terms of ERA, et cetera. Do we know who the Cardinals are pitching against the Cubs? I haven't seen. They got a lot of TBD, and I'm wondering. I'm sure they're going to get Fetty. I'm just wondering when they get him.
Well, tonight is Libitor, the lefty, which makes me wonder if Michael Bush is going to be in the lineup, and I hope he's not sitting. I hope that the first time they play the St. Louis Cardinals in 2025, that Michael Bush is not on the bench. Okay, you just made me think of that because I thought of that this morning, made a note to get to it. And anyway, that's tonight's game. Tomorrow, we know Jameson Taillon's going for the Cubs. They don't have an announced starter yet. There's TBD for the Cardinals. They're playing games. Maybe they're – I'm not quite sure why. We should look a little further into that. Not quite sure who they're starting on Tuesday, which makes Wednesday a little bit more up for grabs. How are they doing what they're doing? And I think that's why you question their ability to stick around. Guys like John Heyman are wondering how the Cardinals are where they are.
You know, it's interesting. I think if you break them down, you'll see they're better defensively than they've been in a couple of years. The breakdown of the Cardinals that we've seen has been because they haven't been able to play defense, which is usually, we always talked about how good they played baseball and how they always made the right play, et cetera. Mm-hmm. They're back to doing that more than they have been.
The Cardinal way?
The Cardinal way.
Cardinal way. It means something again?
Well, I don't know.
Well, it might.
Dustin can ask Willie that.
They find the Cardinal teams of the past found a way to stick around, much like the Brewers have.
Exactly.
And you thought that maybe those days were over, but they're pesky, and they've got a chance to make up some headway here against
all right.
The Cubs.
We're going to get to our guy Nick Friedel. We're going to talk about the NBA Finals next. Nick will break it down for us, and we'll ask about what it means moving forward. There's a lot going on. The draft is on Wednesday. Nick Friedel next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.